thankful that He is, aren't you? Jesus is very near. In fact, He's very close. Very, very close. He's got to be because He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at all times, so He's got to be close in hand. Amen? And I'm thankful for that in my heart today. Now, ain't nobody going to grieve the Lord this morning, is there? I hope not. Nobody going to grieve God. We're going to have our hearts right with one another and right with the Lord, and do our best to try to get some help from God, okay? I want to ask you to turn your Bible to the book of Matthew's Gospel. And I thought Brother Steve was going to preach my message this morning, chapter number 13, if you would please. Matthew chapter number 13. And I want to begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible said, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto Him, so that He went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell on good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing, ye shall see, and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. But he that receiveth the seed in the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of sin choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth, some in 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And may the Lord add His blessing to that. Our Heavenly Father, I pray for Your power, for Your presence, for Your grace, for Your divine help this morning. I pray, Lord, that You'd fill this unworthy vessel with the Spirit of grace and glory, and allow me one time with liberty to preach the Word of God. Lord, as I preach this morning, I pray that Thy Word would fall upon good ground, that it not be fruitful and bring forth in abundance to the glory and honor of God. I'd ask You this morning to bless those that are sick, those that are away from us today out of the house of God. Give them the grace and healing power they need. I do pray, Lord, for those that are in troubles this morning and have problems and cares and concerns of life. I pray for them as well that You'd touch them, bless them, and help them. Open their eyes to some truth in Thy Word that will give them the grace that they need in this hour. I'd ask You, Lord, now to grant the liberty that's needed, that sinners will be saved and Your people will find help from the Word of God. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. All right, I want to preach for a little while this morning, the Lord being my helper, on this parable of the sower. A parable is a Bible story that was used to illustrate some great Bible truth. It is designed to give understanding to some, while the minds of others seem to be closed. We know that from verse number 11, where the Lord said, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it is not given." Now somebody said, "Brother Hall, I don't understand that." Well, I don't either, but I'm telling you what the Bible says. The Bible simply says, "To you it is given to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given." They're not going to understand it. And if I could, I'd get ahead of myself a little. I'd say the reason they can't is because Isaiah prophesied that their ears would be dull of hearing, and they would see and not perceive, and they would hear and not understand. And God's prophecy always comes to pass. Always. And so Isaiah had prophesied that, and it certainly did come to pass. Now, the parables in Matthew 13 are called the mysteries of the kingdom. As a whole, they describe the result of the work of grace during this present age. Now, I want to stop right there and say that the Word of God, God's grace, is efficacious in some people, but in others, they will not grasp it. Now, you hear me and hear me well when I tell you this morning. God's Word, every time it is preached, will do one of two things. It will either be work in the hearts of some, and it will also harden the hearts of others. Every single time that it is preached, it will do exactly that according to the Word of God. There are seven of these in number. And the first two of them are to the multitudes, that is the great multitudes, but the last three are to the disciples of Christ only. Now, chapter number 13 in the book of Matthew, Matthew 13 are called, in Matthew 13 marks a change in our Lord's earthly ministry. If you recall in chapter number 10, the Lord gives His apostles a commission to go preach, but only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's all that they're granted the authority and the privilege of preaching to, is to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And that's why the Bible said that the gospel is to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. And so it is here. It marks a change in our Lord's ministry. I want to say this also, that it's one thing to labor in the Lord's vineyard. That's where the Lord had been so far. But it's another thing to sow seed in the field, which is the world. Totally two different things, to be in the vineyard or to be out in the world. And I don't know about you, I'd rather work in the vineyard. But I'm telling you, the work's got to be done in the field as well. And sowing the seed of the Word of God in the field is not a real easy thing. The Lord's labors here have been directed to Israel. But now they're no longer directed to Israel, but they're directed to the multitudes, to whosoever will. If you notice in verse number 1 of the chapter, the Bible said there that our Lord goes out of the house and sets down by the sea. Now, I don't have time to go into all this in typology and so forth, but the house represents the nation of Israel. And he goes out of that house and he sets down by the sea, which here and in many other places in the Bible typifies or represents the great numbers of people. If you want to read through the book of the Revelation, I don't have time to go there either. But several times in the book of the Revelation, it talks about the sea. It talks about the beast that come up out of the earth. But it also talks about the beast that comes up out of the sea. Now, that's not literal. There's not no beast with 7 horns or 10 horns and so forth going to come up out of the sea. That sea is the multitudes of the people. And that beast and that false prophet, they're going to come up out of the multitudes of the people. And personally, I believe they're already here in this world today. And so when the Lord gets to chapter number 13, he's no longer in the vineyard. He's out in the field. He's out in the world. And he is preaching to the multitude. He's preaching to whosoever will, let him come and drink of the fountain of the water of life freely. I'm glad that here that he affords to you and I as Gentiles the privilege of being saved by the grace of Almighty God. I'm not saying there weren't Gentiles saved before now, but I'm saying now is the time that the Word of God goes out to the Gentiles, and Israel is blinded in part. And they'll remain blinded in part to the end of the tribulation period when the Lord returns back and opens those blinded eyes and they behold him whom they have pierced. And all eyes will see the Lord Jesus at that time. So the gospel is no longer confined to the Jew only, but it's now to the Jew and the Gentile. Now, I want to mention about 4 things very quickly this morning. I want to mention, first of all, the sea. And then the sower, and the seed, and the soil here in chapter number 13. The seed that I've said already, representing the world are the multitudes of the people. I think that's very significant. For the Lord is here preaching to the multitudes of the people. And basically, he was unknown by the world. The Bible said in John chapter 1 and verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, that's an amazing statement there. He that created the world and brought it into existence, he came into that world, and those that were in the world, the Bible said that they knew him not. They knew not the great Creator. They did not realize that the Creator should become a lamb, a sacrifice, and die for the creature. They could not get a hold of that. Somebody said, well, Brother Hall, that was back then. No, I've got news for you, neighbor. It's not only back then, but it's now in our generation that we're living in today. By the way, the Lord is still in the world today in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. And that same crowd that's dead and gone, their relatives live on. And I'm telling you, there's many in this world that know not the Lord even today. Amen. That's right. He made the world, and there's many in this world that have absolutely no idea. He is unknown to them. Amen. When Paul got in Athens and beheld all of those idols, and he said to those people, he said, I perceive that in all things you're superstitious. And he said, I beheld all your idols. And he said, I even saw one there to the unknown God. And said, him I want to declare unto you. Now, I'm going to tell you, he began to preach Jesus and him crucified and resurrected, the hope of mankind. Ladies and gentlemen, he is still the hope of mankind today. Without Him, there is no hope. Thank God He is my hope. And by the way, I am looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearance of my great, get this, God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He was not only, the Savior, but He was very God and is very God yet today. Amen. That's right. And the world, He was unknown by the world, and He is yet unknown by the world. I want to say, secondly, according to the sea, these people, the multitudes, He was unseen by the world. He was unseen by the world. It says in verse number 13, the Bible said, "There therefore speak I unto them in parables, because they seeing, see not." That is, they could not see, or they could not understand exactly who the Lord was and why He was here. He said the same thing to the Pharisees in John 9:41. Jesus said unto them, when He opened the eyes of that blind man, they said, "Are we blind?" And Jesus said unto them, "If you were blind, you should have no sin." Now that's strange. If you were blind, you should have no sin. He said, "But because, but now you say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth." Somebody said, "Brother Hall, what are you saying?" I'm saying, hey, you've got to get lost, ladies and gentlemen, before you can ever get saved. And I tell you, we live in a generation of people that have never seen themselves lost and without God. They've never seen themselves as sinners in need of a Savior. I tell you, humanism is running wild in the world today. And there's folks that have absolutely or seen absolutely no need whatsoever in a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you, there is still a need for Him in order for you to be saved. That's exactly right. Amen. That's right. And you've got to get lost before you get saved. The hardest thing I've ever seen. I thought I'd lost my wallet. Or not my wallet, but my checkbook. I'm always losing something. And I lost my car keys this morning, my little car key that goes in that new key that they give you for that car out there, that van. And I pulled my key out and it wasn't on there. And I said, "Well, I've lost my car keys now. Lost my children's checkbook last night." And I went out in the kitchen, and there they hung up on a nail, and that one little bitty key hanging down. I just pulled on the big part, and the little part stayed up there, I guess. But anyway, I thought I'd come over here. I thought maybe I might have left my checkbook in there in Brother Steve and Brother Joel's office. And I walked in, because I didn't have a key to get in, so I kind of looked through the window in there for it. And was looking around, but here's what I wanted to tell you. The minute I walked through that door last night, that station, we were saying, somebody was saying in there, "I'm so glad I got lost so I could be saved." Amen. Amen. "I'm so glad I got lost so I could be found." I'm going to tell you, it was a wonderful day when I realized that I was lost and on my way to hell. Amen. Amen. And somebody said, "Were you blind?" Oh, yes, I was blind. Amen. I'm glad I wasn't so foolish that I said, "I see everything clearly. I understand everything positively." I said in my heart, "Lord, I don't see and I don't understand." So the Lord said, "I will open your eyes that you might see." Amen. Because you say you're blind, I'll open your eyes that you might see. And I got lost that morning so I could get saved, folks. Now I'm going to say there's so many self-righteous hypocrites roaming around through churches today. You couldn't get them lost if your life depended on it. You know why? Pride. Some of them made a dozen professions and they don't want to make another one. Some of them afraid of what people might say about them. "I wouldn't give a ragtag flip what anybody said about me." I'm telling you, hell is not worth it. Hell is not worth it, buddy. I wouldn't go to hell for about what somebody thought about me. No, sir. Absolutely not. I'd flee to the Savior and lay hold upon Him and lay hold upon eternal and everlasting life. Amen to God. That's right. I'm glad this old bird's glad he got lost so he could get saved. Amen. I'm going to tell you, when the Lord left those 99 in Luke 15, He didn't stay with the 99 and say, "Well, I got 99. Hallelujah for them." He left them. You know why? He had that one little one out yonder that He had to go out there and find. You know why He had to find him? That little one was lost. And if it had never been lost, it had never been found. And if that prodigal had never went to the hog pen, it had never come back to the father's house. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If that man going down the road to Jericho had never fell among thieves, he would have never have been healed by the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, he got healed.
Amen.
I tell you, people today are going to have to get lost before they ever get found. Amen. That's right. I was following an automobile years ago. Miss Hall and I forget where we were going, but it had a bumper sticker on the back. And I read all those things. I don't read as many of them today as I used to. And I'll tell you why. Miss Hall told me the other day, she said, every time you take your eyes off the road, you make boo-boos. Keep your eyes on the road. But I saw a bumper sticker a few years ago that said, don't follow me, I'm lost too. And I said, no, I wouldn't doubt that at all. Then the thought hit me, why, there's multitudes of people today that's following somebody that's lost. I'm going to tell you, we better get in that book and follow Christ, amen. Because He's not lost, never has been lost, never will be lost. In fact, praise God, He come to save the lost and find the lost that He might tear the heavens. Am I saying amen right there? That's His wonderful name. Thank God, I'm glad I got lost. So I could be saved, be found. Now, listen very carefully. He was unaccepted by the world. They didn't receive Him. The Bible said in John chapter 1, verse 11 through 13, the Bible said He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Boy, when we get a hold of that, salvation is the Lord. Woo! They wasn't born, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, no. They wasn't born by the blood, or they wasn't born by the will of the flesh, or they wasn't born by the will of man, but they were born of God. That's right. Thank God. And I'm telling you, when Almighty God give somebody birth into His family, they're there, thank God. This crowd that believes you can lose it and fall from grace today and find it again tomorrow, I'm telling you, hey, He has never lost a son. Are you listening to me? Not one will ever be lost. I guarantee you on that, buddy. He's got them all right in His bosom. Whoop! Whoop! Hey, I'm about to get happy today. He's got every son, every friend in His bosom, ladies and gentlemen. That little old lost sheep He found out yonder on the mountainside, He put him in His bosom and carried him all the way back to the house. What do you think that house represents?
Amen.
Heaven itself, amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you that. And I hate to say this now to some of you folks out there that's got that little poem, Footprints. There's only one thing wrong with that. It ain't real. Why is only one set of prints? Instead of two, well, that's when I was carrying you. I've got news for you. He carries us all the time. There's never a moment He's not carrying us. If you can show me in Luke 15 where He ever set that sheep down, I'll eat that book. When He put it in His bosom, He carried it all the way to the house. Not only carried it, He carried it rejoicing. Praise God, my little sheep was lost, and now it's found. Hey, man, my little sheep was lost, and now it's found. That's what He said that day I got saved. Praise God, oh, ho was lost, and now it's found. Oh, ho was lost, and now it's found. I'm going to tell you, He put me in His bosom. Now I've been on the way to the Father's house ever since. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Now, I want to mention, secondly, the sower. Not only the seed representing the people, but the sower, which according to verse number 3, the Bible said He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Now, I'm not going to turn there, but according to verse number 37 in this chapter, that sower is the Son of Man. That sower is the Son of God. And he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. Amen. Now, He went forth to sow. I want to say two or three things about that sower. Now, I want you to listen carefully. Number one, He never did get discouraged. Not one time. You know, it's so easy. Somebody said, preacher, why did he have, what did he have to get discouraged about? Well, he went for sowing. And he throwed some out there and it fell on the wayside. Didn't do him a bit of good. Well, he throwed another handful and it went on the rock. Didn't do him no good. Throwed some, went into thorny ground. Didn't do him no good. Now, you would think after he had sowed that much for so long and nothing sprung up, he'd get a little discouraged. But I'm going to tell you what. He didn't put his eyes on the wayside, the stony places, or the thorns. Ladies and gentlemen, he kept his eyes upon that ground that brought forth. Hallelujah. Amen. They wasn't a thing he could do for that crowd. They had already rejected him. They were lost and going down. Hey, they wasn't a thing God could do. Just some of you don't believe that. I'm telling you, there wasn't a thing God could do for that crowd. But he kept his eyes on that little handful. Amen. Alone that had good ground that brought forth fruit unto him.
Amen.
That's right. Somebody said, preacher, can you illustrate that? I sure can. What are you going to do about Noah? I don't know how long Noah preached, but didn't get anybody in but his family. I don't have a reason wherever he got discouraged. What are you going to do about Isaiah? Isaiah preached to a bunch of people according to the book of Isaiah that he already knew wasn't going to get right with God. God told him they wasn't going to get right. He said, go preach to them anyway. Ezekiel, the same way. He told Ezekiel, he said, don't look at their faces. He said, don't let their eyebrows get to you. Don't let them get you. He said, don't look at their faces. They were preaching to people they knew wasn't going to get right. But you know what? They just kept on sowing the seed. Here, you know what? And after a while, some may have fell on that wayside and stony places and thorns. But amen, after a little while, some handful of it fell on good ground. Praise God! Now I'm going to tell you something sprung up called the soul of man that had life in it. And by the grace of God, it began to bring forth fruit unto the Lord. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. They all brought forth something for God. Amen. Not the same amount, but they all brought something.
Amen.
I believe I can liken that to the fruit of the Spirit. Well, fruit, more fruit and much fruit, chapter 15 of John. The Spirit of God. Love, joy, peace, faith, goodness. I can't even remember them now. I used to name them all so many times. Faith, meekness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, something like that. Love, joy, peace. Long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness, and faith, and meekness, and temperance. Got it. You may not have a bunch of that hanging on you. And I'm going to say this to you. You listen to what I'm telling you. Paul there in Galatians does not say the fruits. Fruits as plural. The fruit of the Spirit. They're all one fruit. Now I'm going to say there'll be a little bit of them in everybody. 100-fold, 60-fold, and 30-fold. But there will be a little bit in every one of them. Somebody say amen right there. So our Lord didn't get discouraged. He did not get discouraged. Don't know. He just kept on sowing the good seed of the Word of God. Kept his eyes on the good ground. Kept his eyes on the good ground. That Bible said in Psalm 126:6, he that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing a sheaf with him. And you hear what I'm getting ready to tell you. The Lord went for, I'm going to just have to step down. Hallelujah. The Lord went for sowing that seed, rejoicing. Some fell by the wayside. Some fell on among thorns and some on stony ground. He just kept on sowing that seed with rejoicing and weeping his way. Just weeping, I'm talking about tears. If there's ever a weeping prophet, our Lord was one of them. But he sowed that seed and watered that seed with his tears. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There's coming a day when the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. And guess what? He that went forth sowing barren precious seed is going to come again. Rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Somebody said, what did he say? I'm saying that seed that fell on good ground, ladies and gentlemen. There's coming a day when our Lord's coming back to this earth in the clouds of glory. And that seed that fell on good ground on our hearts have been born again. Praise God. He's going forth rejoicing. Back to the throne of the Father. Here they are. Here's the good ground, folks. good hearts. Amen. Kind hearts. That's what I'm going to be preaching on today, kind hearts. Good hearts. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? I want to say number two, not only did he not get discouraged, but he did not become disillusioned. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what do you mean disillusioned? Well, he didn't grow weary in thinking something was wrong and reading it in because he had an understanding about the work. You know what's wrong with people today? They're disillusioned. The big time preachers in America that's got these mega churches have led people to believe. I heard one stand up in a camp meeting and say, if you ain't running but 50 people, you ain't doing nothing. And I thought, bud, you're disillusioned. You don't know the Bible. Our Lord never got disillusioned about that 75% that wasn't doing any good. Not one bit. You know why? Because he understood the work. And he understood what was going on in that hour. Now I'm telling you, it's God's people better get their eyes open and understand what's going on in this hour. I'm telling you, everybody's not going to get in. I wish to God they would, but they're not going to. But I'm going to tell you what we ought to do. Well, just keep on throwing the seed. Keep on throwing the seed. Keep on throwing the seed. You know why? Out there somewhere, there's somebody that's got good ground. Hallelujah to God. That seed of the Word of God will fall on that. Well, that incorruptible Word of God will fall on that good ground. But it'll bring forth for Him. Yes, sir. You better believe it will. Amen. He didn't become disillusioned because he knew what was happening, knew what was going on. A lot of people, a lot of preachers, they quitting because they feel like if in the first year of their ministry they don't win 500 to God and they're not running 1,000, they haven't done anything. I know what I'm talking about. And a lot of them are dropping down to 20, 25 people and they're quitting because they think they're doing something wrong. A lot of churches running preachers off because they think the preacher's doing something wrong because they ain't won 1,000 people to God that week. That's a bunch of hogwash. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. One man soweth, planteth, another man watereth. But you better hear me well. But God, I'll say it again, but God giveth the increase. It's our responsibility to sow it and water it and let God give the increase. We better get a hold of that or we'll get discouraged, disillusioned, down in the dumps, won't want to do nothing for God. Amen. I'm going to say, thirdly, he did not become deficient. What do you mean, Brother Hall? I'm going to say, there was no lack of seed. The Word of God is just as available to you and I today. It still possesses the same power. And it's still eternal. That right there is what he was sowing. The Word of God. And I'm going to tell you, it's never grown deficient. Heard a preacher say sometime, it's been quite a while ago now, a preacher came up to me and he said, well, he said, I heard old brother so-and-so, and I don't remember who it was now. He said, did you hear he quit? I said, no. I said, what did he quit for? He said, well, said he told his people he just going to resign because he had preached everything there was to preach in the Bible and it didn't do him no good. I thought, oh man, that boy needs to grow up. He needs to learn a few things. That book we'll never exhaust the Word of God. You'll never exhaust the grace of God. You'll never exhaust the love of God. Amen. I walked up to that mirror in my bedroom this morning and started getting ready for church. That little card that Miss Hall found somewhere and laid in there, sticking right behind that mirror above our laboratory there in our bedroom. And I pulled it out where I could read. I wanted to read it all one more time. And it said, there's three words. You cannot speak or hear too much. I love you. Amen. And I thought, oh, how wonderful. Jesus loves me. Jesus loved me. Boy, yeah, I don't know about you, but I can't hear that too much. Jesus loves me, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank God, I'm glad every now and then He speaks to my heart and lets me know that Jesus loves an old sinner that got born again out of Underwood, Indiana, want to be in hell with a neck broke. But thank God, He reached down in a horrible pit and brought me out of it. Thank God, He's so deceived that sprung out. I'm glad I got in.
Yeah,
me
too. Amen.
Amen. That's right. Now, I want to mention the seed. Listen carefully. The Bible said a sower, when he sowed, said some seeds fell in certain places. That seed. I want to say number one. I'll get to those places in a minute. But I want to say number one. He did not. It was not mingled seed. That Bible talks about in the book of Leviticus 19:19. The Lord said, thou shalt not sow thy field with mingled seed. I want you to hear what I'm getting ready to say. I'm not a Hebrew expert. But the best I can understand that word mingled is a word that means to be separated genetically. In other words, don't sow two different kinds of genes in the field. You get a hold of that, you jump out of that pew. He didn't sow the wrong seed. He didn't sow seed that had the wrong genes in it. Whoa, no. He didn't sow that mingled seed. Can I put it like this? He didn't sow the KJV and the NIV both. He didn't sow that mingled seed to ASV. No, sir. He sowed the KJV I'm talking about. He didn't mingle the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen. He sowed the Word of God, hey, that had the right genes in it. Somebody said, what do you mean the right genes? I'm talking about the genes of our Father, amen. My Heavenly Father. Amen. My Heavenly Father. He sowed the right genetic seed in the ground of our heart that it might bring forth life and fruit unto Him. Somebody, say it! Amen. Right. Thank God. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Genetics. You realize that a child is, and I'm not a doctor. I'll say this wrong. I'll say it. A child's genes come from his daddy.
Yep.
Genetically offspring by its daddy, its father. And I'm going to say I'm not an offspring of the devil. Now I'm going to say something to shock some of you. I never was a goat. And I was a sheep law. And I never was a child of the devil. I'm a lost sheep, hallelujah to God. And the shepherd came and sought me and found me. Say amen right there. And I said, well, what was you then? I was a sinner. A lost sinner. On my way to hell. If I was a child of the devil, I'm an adopted son. But I'm going to tell you, God don't have any stepchildren. We've all been begotten of the Father. Full of grace and truth. You listen to what I'm saying? He don't have stepchildren. No, sirree, buddy. Somebody said, what if you'd have died in Vietnam? I'd have went to hell just like everybody else. But it didn't. I got born again. Somebody said, who can get born again? Anybody? Somebody said, you're talking in circles. No, I'm not talking in circles. I'm not on this circle. I'm not going to stick my mind into the mind of God. I just know what that book says. And you will never find in that book anywhere where the only people Jesus ever said was a child of the devil was that group of Pharisees.
Amen.
He said, the things of your father you will do, for he was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. That bunch of Pharisees. Somebody said, how could he say that about them? He knows the heart of men. That's how he could say that. He knew the heart of that crowd, ladies and gentlemen. And he knows our heart today. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Woo! Thank God. They don't need to hide nothing from him. He knows it anyway. Amen. That's right. That's right.
Amen.
Thank God. Now, I'm going to say number two, it wasn't manufactured seed. It wasn't something made up by man. Well, today I'm going to tell you this story. That's all you hear out of most preachers is stories. Skyscraper preacher, story on top of story on top of story. Soon they build the Empire State Building. And 100,000 people get saved, and everything's fine and good. They ain't never said anything about the Word of God whatsoever. But I'm going to tell you, it's not manufactured. This Word is not manufactured. It's not a manufactured seed. Can I say this in the best way I know how? It's hybrid. It's hybrid seed. You ever come by these cornfields and say, these eight rows is so-and-so hybrid corn. I mean, that's the best seed they got, boys. I'm going to tell you, when he sowed that, whoa, open the door. When he sowed that seed, it was hybrid seed. It was the best seed God had. Somebody said, well, what was the best seed God had? Hey, it was the living, incarnate Word of Almighty God. It was His Son. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. I'm telling you, it was His Son that He sowed in our heart on that day. Amen and amen. I won't say it wasn't morbid seed. I'm going to say, what do you mean morbid? Well, it wasn't unhealthy. Pretty healthy savings. Now, it's getting about time to close. I want to move on to the last point. I want to talk about that soil. There's four types of soil mentioned here. And one of them is wayside. One of them is stony. One of them is thorny. And the other one is good. The wayside, said the fowls devoured it. And the stone, it said it sprung up, but it withered away. And the thorn, it says it is choked by the thorns, but the good ground brought forth fruit. Now I call that wayside. Look in verse number 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh a wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. See, it didn't miss his heart. That word was put there. It was sown. Somebody said, did he lose it? No. Listen carefully. So this is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. This is he. But he that receiveth the seed, no, this is the seed that was received seed by the wayside. The wicked one come. That wayside is not the field. It's a place that's never been plowed, never been tilled. And I call that the impregnable heart. The impregnable heart. Somebody said, what do you mean, Brother Hall? It hears the sound, but not the sense. In other words, they do not understand what they hear. It's like the gospel. People today do not. Hey, the gospel makes no sense to those whose minds have been blinded by the prince of this world. I mean, it's foolishness to them. But you and I that are saved, it's the power of God unto salvation. I want to say amen right there. That impregnable heart, that hard-hearted individual. But in there all around us today, they've heard it over and over and over again. There's only one problem. Their heart's been trodden upon and trodden upon and trodden upon until it's so hard that the seed cannot penetrate that heart and make it impregnable. It cannot receive it because it's so hardened, ladies and gentlemen. There's people today that's heard the gospel so much and hardened their heart over it, they'll never get it. They'll never get it. Somebody said, I don't believe that. Wait a minute, well, you ought to. They could not understand it. That's what the Bible said. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not. Then secondly, that impregnable heart, the word was caught away by Satan. That word catch away, and that was it. That wicked one and cover that wicked one and catcheth away. Catcheth away. I wonder if I got anything up here. When I was playing ball one time, and I told you, you better be a good thrower, buddy. If you ain't, I'm going to bust you upside the God-given head. Stand back a little bit. We're going to put the Word of God in here. And you listen to what I'm telling you. Years ago when I was a young man, my older brothers were playing in the ball league. And they didn't have enough people to play, so they put me as a Roman fielder. That's the place they put somebody when they didn't have no place else for them. They put me as a Roman fielder. We was leading a team by the name of Alpha 4-3. They had two runners on base and two men out. And an old boy got up and hit that ball like a bullet, son. And here was a right fielder, center fielder, Roman fielder, left fielder. And that ball was hit right at me. And I just turned and ran just as fast as I could run. And jumped up. And just before that ball got above my head, they said, I heard them hollering, "That's it! That's it! Woo! That's it!" And about that time, I jumped and that ball said, "Plop!" And I heard them say, "Ooh." I heard all them little old young girls around there saying, "Woo, Gary! Woo, Gary! Woo, Gary!" And just before that ball got away from me, you know what I done? I snatched it.
Amen.
Better go out and make sure you get it to me. I throw it hard now, just get it to me. Throw it again, Josh. Wrap her up and throw it again. Get it up a little bit. Snatch it! Where was it headed for? But I snatched it! Now I'm going to tell you that's exactly what we're talking about the devil does. Right. That seed might be sown, but before on that wayside, that impregnable heart, the devil snatches it out before it ever gets into that heart and is productive for the glory of God. Are you listening? I won't say secondly, I don't want to know, I guess I got them right here. I won't say secondly, not only the impregnable heart, but I see number two, the impulsive heart. Verse 20 and 21. The Bible said, "But he that receiveth the seed by so many places, the same as he that heareth the word, and on with joy receiveth it. Yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended." Notice how this fellow received this word. And on, quickly, with joy. I got it, boys. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. Hallelujah to God. I'm talking about the first time they ever hear the name Jesus. I got saved. Well, I don't know about that. I've got real doubts about it. Are you listening to what I'm saying now? Impulsive heart. They just receive it with joy. Son, they'll come into the church skipping and a hopping, big smile on their face, testifying, "Thank God, amen, I'm glad I got in, hallelujah to God, glory to God, praise God, amen, glory to God, amen, praise God." Had a fella got out of a car out there one evening, Sunday night, and he started walking down the parking lot, and I kind of looked out the door, and he saw me, and somebody else back there, and he said, "Praise God, I've been to praise God, looking praise God for a praise God church, praise God, like this church, praise God for a long time, praise God, praise God, I've been looking for the church." He sat down over there. And I got to preaching, and he just kept slinking on down. Last time I seen him, he was selling hamburgers down to Hardee's. I hadn't seen him in the house of God since. He must not have been looking too hard, praise God, for a church, praise God, like this church, praise God. But I'm telling you, there's people today that have received it with joy.
Amen.
They just endure for a little while. Then they'll blow up, or they'll blow out. They get mad. They get offended over the Word of God. And you know who they always take it out on? The preacher. It's always the preacher's fault. Now, I'm going to tell you what, it ain't never the preacher's fault. I'm going to tell you whose fault it is. I'm going to tell you what God told Moses. God said, "Go on, Moses. They're not mad at you. They're offended over what God said." No, he said that to Samuel. I'm sorry. Said they're offended about what I had to say. Go on, Samuel, and preach to them.
Amen.
They're not offended at the preacher. They get ticked over what they hear from that book. They get offended. My Bible tells me, "Great peace have they which love thy Lord, and nothing shall offend them." And I'm going to tell you something right now. You better do some studying on that word. It don't mean that somebody won't say something every now and then that hurts your feelings. That's not being offended. That's talking about nothing shall offend them. That is nothing. I don't care. Hey. They have so much peace from being saved. I don't care what happens in their life, buddy. They're not going to blow out. They're going to stay right with God.
Amen. That's the book, ladies and gentlemen.
Better believe it's right. I've seen him grab that word and just rejoice and shout and run the aisles. I wonder where they're all at now. Listen carefully now. They receive it immediately, but they're easily offended because of tribulation and because of persecution. And then I see the inconsistent heart. Look at verse 22. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. He hears, but he don't hear the truth. Never hears the truth, just hears. But he never grasps hold of the truth. The Lord said, I'm the way. Somebody said, praise God about that. But he also says, I'm the truth. Are we going to get a hold of the truth? You'll know. Sons will therefore make you free, shall be free indeed. And he is truth. That's right. This fellow is ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And I'm getting ready to tell you why. My Bible tells me that he received it among thorns, and in the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Chokes the word. Now hear well what I'm saying. Some of you may get mad about this, but the germ remains in the soil. Somebody said, what do you mean, preacher? Well, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. The germ of sin is still there. It's never been gotten out. And he loves, the world and its riches more than he loves God. Oh, I wish I had about 4 hours to preach on Moses. And hey, wasn't the riches that got his attention. It was the reproaches. Woo! Wasn't the riches of Pharaoh. It was the reproaches of Christ that got his attention. And he'd rather suffer the reproaches of Christ than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And that's what this crowd here has done. They've still got this germs, just sin germ in their heart. And I'm going to tell you, they're hearing it. Them thorns and their sheep will begin to choke and grip and wrap around them. Have you ever seen anybody here besides Brother Robert and Brother Steve ever grow a garden? I want to ask y'all something, you garden growers. What happens if you let that garden come up a little bit and it's looking pretty good and then you just leave it alone? What happens? Huh? And we just start, and they don't just take it over. They'll get right in there around that little tomato plant and just wrap themselves around it and just suck. And they, you know what the problem is? Their roots down here, and they're sucking all the nutrients from that little tomato plant. And by, he just kind of wilts over. He might get a little thing on him, something like that, a little green tomato, but he ain't going to do no good. I'm going to tell you why, because there's more weeds than they are the tomato plant. And it's just going to suck the goody plumb out of that little old plant. Now, I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. That's what's wrong with a lot of people today. They've still got that seed germ still in their heart. Oh, and I'm telling you, we're preaching at exterior things, and I'm not opposed to that. I know we got to preach on the exterior, but I'm telling you that it's man's heart that's got to be changed. You can change the exterior all you want, but if you don't get the heart changed, it'll do absolutely no good for that person by and by. For they'll eventually fade away. You haven't helped them one bit. If I tell you what you've done, you made them a twofold more child of hell. And they will fade away. Better believe they will. But lastly, there's that good ground.
Amen.
Woo! Sowing in the morning, sowing in the evening, sowing in the noontime, and the dewy eve. Somebody help me. By and by rejoicing, we shall come rejoicing. Something like that. We shall come rejoicing bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. Oh, bringing in the sheaves. Yes, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Why? We just kept on sowing. They may never, if it fell on the wayside, we kept on sowing. If it fell on thorny ground, we just kept on sowing. If it fell amongst the, on a rock and had no, we just kept on sowing. Well, eventually some of it fell on that good ground. One of these days we'll go rejoicing.
Yes.
Now Island Ford Baptist Church and everything that is done, whether it be personal, talking to people, whether it be giving money to missions, whether it be giving money to that radio station, whatever we've done to sow the good seed of the Word of God, one of these days we'll come rejoicing and that few little old crowd that we've seen get saved, they'll be right behind us. We'll say, here they are, Lord. And Jesus say, who do those belong to? And we'll have to say, we'll have to back off and say, Lord, you've done it all. You did it all. They're all yours. Hallelujah. And He did do it all. We have done absolutely nothing but what is required of us. And then when we've done that, we should look at the Lord and say, I've done nothing. You've done it all. You're worthy. The Lamb is worth it. Let's stand together.